Hi, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. As you know, we've switched formats and are now broadcast exclusively on the Progressive Voices Network. So that means you get fewer program interruptions, no corporate commercials, and lots of profanity. But our format change also means some of our radio listeners no longer hear the program. It's been a while since I mentioned our podcasts, so you may have forgotten that there is a way to listen to this program anytime you need a good dose of screaming. Visit MikeMalloy.com and subscribe to our podcast. You have your choice. You can listen to The Ranting with the audio podcast or listen and watch me lose control with a video podcast subscription. As a podcast subscriber, you can download the program to your mobile device and take me with you wherever you go. And if you have a friend who needs a dose of truth-seeking, you can give a gift subscription as well. That's MikeMalloy.com and never miss a minute of the uncensored fun and frivolity.
And now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Hey, everybody, it's church night. This is the Malloy program. It is the 17th of October, 2018. Our two sponsors tonight, Chris Schaper from Stuttgart, Germany, who is sponsoring every church night this month. Thank you, Chris. Her message, no Republican is fit for public office, period. Remember in November, vote the assholes out. That's what it says. Tom in Michigan. Happy marijuana legalization day in Canada. No more 10 years in prison for two joint possession. Enjoy. Enjoy indeed. Thanks to Tom and Chris. Wouldn't you like to live in a country where a rational, reasonable bill would pass that the whole country would benefit from? We don't live there. It's a civilized country. It's called Canada. Just north of here. All right. I don't like to toot my own horn very often. But sometimes I feel justified in doing so. And one example of that is what I was talking about on yesterday's podcast about poor Mr. Khashoggi, that when the Saudis got their hands on him, they really, really gave him a gruesome, horrifically painful death. And I went into some detail yesterday about what I surmised was the way they killed him. I talked about they cut his fingers off, they gouged his eyes out, they removed some of his organs while he was still alive. Well, it turns out that the New York Times pretty much reported exactly what I said in today's paper. See, the Saudis, being the religious nutfucks that they are, have learned well their methods of torture, because when they have to torture an infidel, someone who is not a Muslim, there has to be an exquisiteness about that torture that will ripple outward and affect people who hear about it to a degree that either they become Muslim or they get the fuck out of Dodge. The Christians are the ones who taught the Muslims how to torture. The Muslims were some of the first victims of Christian torture. During the Inquisition, some of the devices that were used for torture developed by the Jesus-loving, gentle, beatific Christians were devices that when applied to a human body were beyond description when it came to the pain that was caused. This is another reason why religion, every fucking religion on earth, makes me want to vomit. Only religion, religion that believes in heaven and hell, could possibly come up with these torture techniques. The human mind, once it accepts the bullshit and the phantoms and ghosts and haints and things that go bump in the night that religion produces, it talks about. Once the human brain accepts that bullshit, anything can go in there. In the name of that religion. Doesn't that make sense to you, Kathy? I mean, I know you're not a religious person. You're an atheist like I am. But Jesus fucking Christ, why do people keep believing this stuff? I can't understand it. Let me quote the Times for you. They left out some of the gory stuff. His killers were waiting when Jamal Khashoggi walked into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul 2 weeks ago. They severed his fingers and later beheaded and dismembered him, according to details from audio recordings described by a senior Turkish official today. Mr. Khashoggi was dead within minutes, and within 2 hours, the killers were gone, the recordings suggested. And then the article goes on to talk about how top Saudi officials keep denying any involvement, and this fucking moron in the White House keeps covering for them. A team of 15 Saudi agents with ties to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was waiting for Mr. Khashoggi inside the consulate the moment he arrived. After he was shown into the office of the Saudi consul, Mohammed al-Otaibi, the agents seized Mr. Khashoggi almost immediately and began to beat and torture him, eventually cutting off his fingers. Mr. al-Otaibi, the consul, told the torturers, quote, "Do this outside, you will put me in trouble." According to the Turkish official and report in the Turkish newspaper Yeni Safak, both citing audio recordings obtained by Turkish intelligence. As they cut off Mr. Khashoggi's head and dismembered his body, a doctor of forensics who had been brought along for the dissection and disposal had some advice for the others, according to the senior Turkish official. "Listen to music," he told them as he put on headphones himself. That was what he did to ease the tension when doing his work. Such information would not have been disclosed in Turkey without the consent of the government. Turkish media outlets and newspapers are closely controlled. Blah, 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 blah. Speaking to reporters at the White House today, Mr. Fuckoden said access to recorded evidence from the Turkish authorities as Trump added, quote, "if it exists," end quote. Mr. Trump also said he expected to get a full report from Mr. Pompeo when he returned. Oh, I'll just bet he will. Now, that's the way the Times reported it. Here's the way, excuse me, Middle East Eye reported it, as written by David Hurst, with a couple of photos, not of Khashoggi, but a couple of photos of the residents of the Saudi Consul General in Istanbul, pictures taken by the French news agency AFP. Quote, "It took 7 months for Jamal Khashoggi to die, a Turkish source who has listened in full to an audio recording of the journalist's last moments, told Middle East Eye. Khashoggi was dragged from the consul general's office at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and onto the table of his study next door. Horrendous screams were then heard by a witness downstairs. The source told Middle East Eye, quote, the consul himself was taken out of the room. There was no attempt to interrogate him. They had come to kill him. The screaming stopped when Khashoggi was injected with an as yet unknown substance. Salam Muhammad al-Tubaiji, who has been identified as the head of forensic evidence by the Saudi General Security Department, was one of the 15-member squad who arrived in Ankara earlier that day on a private jet. Tubaiji began to cut Khashoggi's body up on a table in the study while he was still alive, the Turkish source said. What did I say yesterday? Yeah. Exactly fucking this. Exactly. The killing took 7 minutes, the source said. As he started to dismember the still live Khashoggi, Tubaiji, the forensics expert from Saudi Arabia, put on earphones and listened to music. He advised other members of the squad to do the same, which is what the Times reported. Tubaiji was recorded as saying, quote, when I do this job, I listen to music. You should do that too. A three-minute version of the audio tape has been given to Turkish newspaper Sabah, but they have yet to release it. A Turkish source told the New York Times that Tubaiji was equipped with a bone saw. He is listed as the president of the Saudi Fellowship of Forensic Pathology and a member of the Saudi Association for Forensic Pathology. These are the first details to emerge of the Saudi journalist's killing. And then it goes on with political bullshit. Yes, Kathy.
Yeah, I was just about the putting on the headphones while the man's being dismembered alive. If you dismember him alive with a still beating heart, you're going to have just geysers of blood. Aren't you pumping because it's under pressure?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you wearing rain slickers? I mean,
pretty much.
It's just a
bloodbath. Well,
there's
a picture. There's a picture in the New York Times. I may have it right here. A picture. Now, this is from Monday. Hold on. Okay.
A picture?
A picture of how people are dressed who went to the crime scene. Hold on. I'll find it.
Oh, no. That's okay.
But to answer your question.
I'm sure they're wearing hazmat.
Yes, of course, with a beating heart.
It would just be...
There's going to be
floods
of blood.
Just geysers. I mean, pumped blood. I mean, wouldn't he die, bleed out as soon as they hit, like, the femoral artery? I mean, were they... I don't know. It's just the most gruesome thing I've heard in such a long time. So close to Halloween, too. But, you know, I heard that other senator. Who's that creepy guy from, I think he's from Alabama. He's also on the Judiciary Committee. I heard him today on MSNBC saying, we have to respect the delicate balance of power in the Middle East because of Iran. So we can't piss off MBS because there's a delicate power balance.
Well, I guess the picture I wanted to show you is in yesterday's paper, or maybe it's in a section upstairs. But it shows the people who apparently work for the Turkish government, how they are dressed when they go in this place to clean up the horrific goddamn mess. As you know, I don't know if you've seen an autopsy performed. I have. I had a friend in high school whose dad was a
mortician.
Or that's not what they call him. What do they call him? Funeral director. But Bob, that was a kid's name. We were all seniors in high school, and Bob used to say to Jerry and me, "You ought to come and see these corpses." And of course, we were scared to do it, but we went. That's why, remember the movie 6 Feet Under?
Yeah.
When that, or not the movie, but the TV
HBO
series
show
that first came out. And I said, "Oh my God, that looks like where Jerry and Bob and I used to go." But
did that make it into the book?
Huh?
That little episode in your book?
No, I didn't. I didn't write about that. That'll be in the second book. But it's a rather clinical situation. I mean, there's certain things they open up. They take out the viscera. They open up the gut. They look at
I've
this.
I've seen it on television.
Right.
You know, and dramatized.
But when you're dismembering a live body.
It's just got to be just like a
horror
movie.
And you know the weird part? Remember last night we saw a little bit of Goodfellas?
Yeah.
When they were
stabbing the guy in the trunk.
Stabbing that guy.
Because he needed the knife to cut off the hoof. I just can't imagine. It is the mafia. We are run right now. How many national governments do you feel like are run by mafia, including ours?
But killers,
crime lords.
Just like in Dr. Ford's testimony during the hearing on Kavanaugh, when she said she was screaming and they turned up the radio.
Exactly.
Yeah. To drown out the sound.
And mafia.
And this forensic fucker says, while we're sawing him up alive and
put
he's
on
screaming,
the headphones.
Huh?
Put your headphones
on.
Yeah,
turn on the music. And Trump, this rotten piece of shit, Trump is still talking about, well, you know, could have been rogue killers.
Well, he sent Pompeo there to sword dance with the MFers again. Apparently.
Yeah, they should have sent Pompeo to Istanbul.
Exactly.
Not to Riyadh.
Well, of course. But that would be the normal thing to do if we had a president who wasn't part of the mafia, some sort of international mafia. I'm really starting to wonder if there's not some international, I feel like a conspiracy.
Don't wonder.
But like with Putin and Trump and maybe the Saudis, who knows? Doesn't it sort of start to feel like a giant crime family on a huge global scale? Why wouldn't it happen with internet technology? But let me ask you this. I mean, so who's the mob rule, right? You know, the Democrats are the mob.
I have listened through most of my adult life to people who want to convince me that there is a cadre of people on this planet who really do want run things, who are the invisible hand.
The Illuminati.
Huh?
The Illuminati.
No, not them. Worse than that. And, you know, I always will listen for the first 10 minutes, and then when they start to foam at the mouth, I just say, okay, I hear you.
QAnon.
Huh?
QAnon. The QAnon freaks.
Oh, the QAnon. No, not them. Those are cowardly pieces of shit. I'm talking about the real stuff. Anyway. But what happened to Khashoggi is the real stuff. It doesn't make any difference who the dictator is. Enemies of the state are eliminated in a manner that is so horrifying and so shocking that in theory it is to convince would-be enemies of the state to shut the fuck up and stay alive. Consider what Kim in North Korea, what he did to his uncle, executed him with an anti-aircraft cannon. There wasn't enough left of the uncle to put in a fucking envelope and FedEx it to his family. Think about the killings ordered by Putin with nerve agents and radioactive agents and pins jabbed into somebody as they're walking down an airport concourse. A little pin with enough lethality on the end of it to wipe out a fucking village of Cossacks. You know, these people, and Trump is right there with them. Has Trump ordered hits? Who knows? At this point, every fucking time some gruesome situation comes up like this, Trump is the first one to jump up like somebody just jammed him up the ass with a croquet mallet and scream, well, you know, what, another guilty till proven innocent? But in terms of painful, excruciating, unbearable death, the religionists are the ones who have come up with tortures so exquisite that you wonder what kind of a human mind could conceive of such a thing. But you don't have to wonder long, because the answer is the same kind of mind that can conceive of this fucked up weird shit that we call religion, and I don't care what religion it is. Any mind that can conceive of that and swear allegiance to that and go to fucking church or temple or mosque or whatever you call it every week to pray. Hamina, 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 hamina. What the fuck? That is the kind of mind that can devise methods of torture that you and I can't even guess about. But after they cut off all of Khashoggi's fingers, then they go for the eyes. And the reason, by the way, that fingers are cut off, specifically a writer. And that's what Khashoggi was, someone who wrote articles mildly critical of this fucking monster, Trump's good friend, who runs Saudi Arabia. This religious fuckwad, Prince Salman, murderous son of a bitch, like Kim, like Putin, like Duterte, and eventually, unless he is stopped, like Trump. But cut off the fingers of the writer. Gouge out the eyes of the person who might bear witness. Cut out the tongue of the person who talks too much. So after they got his fingers, you can bet your ass they went next for his eyes. And then his tongue. Then his hands and feet. And if Allah is merciful at that time, Khashoggi would die. But it took 7 minutes. 7 fucking minutes. Of that kind of religious madness unleashed. I'm feeling queasy. Couple of tweets. This is from Ana Navarro. A U.S. permanent resident was turned into mincemeat by the Saudis. Thousands of Floridians lost their homes. Thousands more are without power. And the president of the United States is on Twitter calling one woman Pocahontas and another one horseface. It must be Tuesday. She tweeted that yesterday. This is staggering stuff. I mean, from Chuck Schumer. Fascinating to watch what Donald Trump will allow the Saudis to do, whether it's killing Yemeni school children or murdering a reporter in their own consulate. It seems like they can do no wrong. I wonder why. Well, one of the reasons, Chuck, is because you and your fucking ilk in the Senate keep giving the Saudis billions of dollars to go kill the Yemeni children. Stand up on your feet, Schumer, and vote fucking no. It's one thing for some powerless person like me to yell and complain, but you, Schumer, you have the power to stop this, you fucking hypocrite. From Ryan Knight, I never thought I would see a president call a woman horseface. I never thought I would see a president conspire with a hostile foreign power. I never thought I would see children in prison camps in America. And I never thought I would see so many Americans okay with all of this. John Oberlin. Just for the record, Trump said that the U.S. had investigators on the ground in Turkey investigating the murder of Khashoggi. A few hours later, the FBI released a statement saying they can't investigate without an invitation from Turkey, and they haven't received one. Trump lied. Again! And the last one from John Aravosis. Trump just announced massive budget cuts to pay for the failed tax cut for the rich. A 5% cut from every agency that will decimate the federal government, Social Security, Medicare, veterans, everybody. All because the Republicans broke the bank with their tax cut for the rich. Yeah, have you heard that shithead McConnell talking about, oh, well, we're going to have to cut some spending because the federal deficit is ballooning out of control. And he's the son of a bitch who helps that happen. The Republic, this is how they always do it. Tax cut for the wealthy. Money stops rolling in to pay for the massive debt that this country has accumulated. And by debt, I mean whether it's Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, a veterans payment. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If it's to be paid out, it's a debt. And then after breaking the fucking bank for the next 20 years with their tax cut for the wealthy, then they have to decide, oh, we've got to cut spending. Let's see. What can we cut? Oh, I know. How about funds for education? How about funds for Medicare? How about funds for Social Security? Jesus Christ. And as far as the military, what did Trump say yesterday? Eric Bollert wrote this at ShareBlue. Is Trump afraid of war zones? Trump is waving off the idea that he should maintain the presidential tradition of visiting U.S. troops inside a war zone. The gesture is seen as a kind of respect and a way for the president to remind U.S. troops that Americans are thinking of them in places like Afghanistan and Iraq, where an estimated 20,000 U.S. troops are still stationed. Trump said yesterday, when pressed during a Q&A with the Associated Press, quote, I would do that at some point, but I don't think it's necessary. I've been very busy with everything that's taken place here. He's too busy to visit the troops. Now, you know my feeling about U.S. troops stationed on foreign soil, but they're there. And this cocksucker is the president of the United States. I'm too busy. And then he said, well, you know, and this is a lie, that he recently approved the first military pay raise in 11 years. In truth, members of the U.S. military are guaranteed a small pay raise every year by law. But this filthy piece of fucking shit, Trump, says it again. First pay raise 11 years, and I gave it to him. And the dumb fucks who voted for him take it as gospel. George W. Bush visited war zones. Less than 3 months into his presidency, Obama visited the troops in Iraq. Obama made surprise visits to troops in Afghanistan twice in 2010. In total, Obama ventured into combat zones five times during his time in office. Trump, though, is too fucking busy watching Fox, throwing rolls of paper towels at Puerto Ricans, sneaking around on his wife fucking porn stars. Not only is this the laziest son of a bitch ever, some days there's nothing listed on his official schedule. Nothing. Nothing. When not live tweeting Fox during his executive time, Trump has been relentlessly golfing as if that is his full-time job. Remember what he said about Obama going golfing once in a while? Oh, yeah. And Trump has had 70 campaign events this year. Fucking 70. Where he goes out to these jerkwater fucking towns and gets these brain dead white people to come in and cheer him. They would line up and suck his dick if he asked them to. That's how much they just worship him. Well, the Christians have told us for a long time, haven't they, that the Antichrist would soon appear. He's here. And yet the Christians are worshiping him. You fuckers. Eric writes, note that Trump, who has bragged about being a three-sport athlete in high school, suddenly developed bone spurs when he came eligible for the draft during Vietnam. In total, he received 5 deferments and avoided serving the military. Nearly 60,000 Americans were killed in that war. Trump told the Associated Press he'd, his word, gladly visit the troops at some point. But Trump lies about every fucking thing. So if you're waiting for him to visit the troops because he said he would, you're going to be waiting a long time. I can't even get through a half an hour talking about this filthy, filthy human being, this subhuman being, Trump, without really getting into gutter language. That's how he affects me. Let's take a break, Kathy. I'll be back in a moment. Stick around.
A traveler on an airline had his name on a secret list. He was taking away with his laptop, and as he left, he called out to me. Mimi and Guantanamo, I heard the girls are sweeter there. Mimi and Guantanamo.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump is defending Saudi Arabia against mounting global condemnation over missing journalist Jamal Khashoggi, claiming the kingdom is being unfairly viewed as guilty until proven innocent.
The president is apparently criticizing, according to the Associated Press, the global condemnation that Saudi Arabia has received over the apparent killing of Jamal Khashoggi. The president saying here in an interview with the Associated Press, quote, here we go again with you're guilty until proven innocent. President making a reference here, according to the Associated Press, president making a reference to the allegations that were facing his Supreme Court nominee and now the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who the president felt was presumed guilty until there was that FBI expanded background check that some Republicans felt was not enough corroborating evidence to keep him from being on the Supreme Court. But the president talking about this case of Jamal Khashoggi with the Associated Press and saying to the Associated Press, here we go again with your guilty until proven innocent. It sounds as though that the president is once again taking the denials, accepting the denials from the Saudi government that they did not have any direct ties to the murder of the Saudi journalist, when, of course, there is mounting evidence that says otherwise.
Trump's comments came amid new reports that Khashoggi was killed and dismembered in a plot organized by a high-ranking officer in Saudi Arabia's main intelligence service.
What we understand from several sources is that it was a senior intelligence figure close to Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, the man essential single-handedly in control of Saudi Arabia right now, who organized what the Turkish officials are calling the hit squad to come here to Turkey. And what Turkish officials are CNN about is that Jamal Khashoggi was in fact dismembered in the consulate shortly after he went into the consulate. But what we understand about this so-called hit team, according to Turkish officials, Saudi sources say that it isn't clear if the team came here to rendition him, but they may have injected him with tranquilizers and somehow that went wrong. And one of the sources says that maybe this wasn't authorized by Prince Mohammed bin Salman. That isn't clear. It doesn't pass the sniff test here in Turkey, because what Turkish investigators are finding is they're getting obstruction essentially from the Saudis. When their investigators went into the consulate the night before last, a lot of it had been painted over, we were told, and a cleaning team had gone in moments after it was announced that the investigators would be headed there in a couple of hours. And then, on top of that, when the investigators went to the Consul General's house yesterday, a couple of hours before they arrived there, the Consul General fled the country, flew back to Saudi Arabia. The investigators had gone to his house to search his house and search his vehicles. He's believed to be complicit in this.
Donald Trump has been lying about his ties to Saudi Arabia, tweeting Tuesday, quote, "For the record, I have no financial interest in Saudi Arabia or Russia for that matter. Any suggestion that I have is just more fake news, of which there is plenty." That's not what Trump has been saying for years.
I like the Saudis. They're very nice. I make a lot of money with them. They buy all sorts of my stuff, all kinds of toys from Trump. They pay me millions and hundreds of millions. But you know what? They make $1 billion a day, folks. And whenever they're in trouble, our military takes care. You know, we get nothing. South Korea... Crazy is right, right? Who said that? Stand up. Stand up. He said it's crazy. It's true.
That was Donald Trump in July of 2015. Speaking of lying, Lion Ted returned to the stage Tuesday night in the second and final debate between Senator Ted Cruz and Congressman Beto O'Rourke, who's challenging Cruz for his Senate seat. O'Rourke came out swinging.
This is what you can expect over the course of this debate. Senator Cruz is not going to be honest with you. He's going to make up positions and votes that I've never held or have ever taken. He's dishonest. It's why the president called him Lying Ted, and it's why the nickname stuck, because it's true.
Cruz displayed his tone deafness when he was asked about the lack of civility in today's political discourse when he chastised the moderator for trying to ask him a follow-up question.
You are right that there is a loss of civility. There is an anger. There is a rage on the far left that is really frightening. You know, the images... hold on, let me answer with it. Don't interrupt me, Jason. The images of a left-wing mob beating on the doors of the Supreme Court... That's not good for our country. We can disagree while treating each other with respect, while treating each other with civility.
Trump sat for a wide-ranging 40-minute interview with the Associated Press on Tuesday, defending Saudi Arabia from growing condemnation over the case of the missing journalist, accusing his longtime attorney Michael Cohen of lying under oath, and flashing defiance when asked about the insult "horse face" he hurled at Stormy Daniels, the porn actress who accused him of lying about an affair.
The president is essentially taking a victory lap after getting that legal victory yesterday in the Stormy Daniels case, and he's tweeting at her in a language that, frankly, I don't think we've ever heard a president use. He describes her as a horse face and says that he is going to be able to go after her and her third-rate lawyer.
Bloomberg is reporting Wednesday morning that special counsel Robert Mueller is expected to issue findings on core aspects of his Russia probe soon after the November midterm elections, as he faces intensifying pressure to produce more indictments or shut down his investigation. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
I don't think you know about this one yet, Kathy. You remember Julie Swetnick? She was one of the people who accused...
She was one of Avenatti's clients that came out about Kavanaugh and made the allegations about the gang rape on the boat.
But I don't think you know what I'm about to say.
No, but I know who she is.
Let me start over. I don't think you know about this yet, Kathy. But Julie Swetnick, one of the Kavanaugh accusers, who her testimony that she never had a chance to give, but her public statements were that Kavanaugh was present at a house party in 1982 where Julie Swetnick says she was a victim of a gang rape. Well, guess what? According to the Washington Post, in an unprecedented move, now I'm going to add a little bit to this starting now, the white male Christian Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday released an explicit statement that purports to describe the sexual preference of Julie Swetnick. The statement, which was circulated to the hundreds of journalists on the Judiciary Committee's press list, was from Dennis Ketterer, a former Democratic congressional candidate and television meteorologist, who said he was involved in a brief relationship with Julie Swetnick in 1993. In his statement, Mr. Ketterer said Julie Swetnick once told him that she sometimes enjoyed group sex with multiple men and had first engaged in such activity during high school. Mr. Ketterer said the remark derailed their relationship, which he described as involving physical contact but no intercourse. Ketterer said Swetnick, quote, never said anything about being sexually assaulted, raped, gang raped, or having sex against her will, and never mentioned Brett Kavanaugh in any capacity, end quote. Ketterer described his relationship with Julie Swetnick as having lasted for, quote, a couple of weeks. It's highly unusual for a congressional committee to release a statement that includes such explicit and unconfirmed details to the public about a member of the public. Now, when the charges against Kavanaugh were presented, every one of these fucking bastards on this committee, on the Republican side, screamed, innuendo, it's false, where's the proof? But they will release a goddamn statement from some fucking weatherman who says Julie Swetnick told him she liked to involve herself with group sex back in high school. And that, these fuckers, these white Christians on the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Republicans, release the statement. You dirty bastards, you. You dirty bastards. Swetnick's attorney, Michael Avenatti, called the statement, quote, bogus and outrageous, end quote, and called for the FBI to interview both Ms. Swetnick and Mr. Ketterer to assess their truthfulness. Avenatti said yesterday afternoon in a phone interview with the Washington Post, quote, at the same time the committee refuses to provide documents, they don't hesitate to provide this piece of garbage. This was absolutely fabricated to assist the Republicans to ram through this nomination. End quote. Avenatti called for reporters to, quote, dig good and hard into Ketterer's background. I mean, the fucking bastard has already been confirmed and on the Supreme Court. And the Republicans do this yesterday. These filthy, degenerate, perverted, Christian fucking white men. Unfucking real. Oh, listen. Reached by phone, Ketterer said he provided the statements to the committee after hearing Swetnick's allegations and discussing his memories of her with local leaders in his church. Ketterer describes himself as a longtime member of the Church of Jesus fucking Christ of Latter-day Saints and lives in Salt Lake City. Ketterer said, quote, "We talked about doing the right thing, and the right thing was not to hold it back." Eventually, he said, one church leader reached out to a former Latter-day Saints bishop who had a connection to the office of Senator Orrin Hatch, who sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee and is also a member of this fucking church. Ketterer said he spoke with Hatch's staff and was then handed off to staff for Judiciary Committee Chairman Charles Grassley, who he said pressed him in a long phone interview about his knowledge of Swetnick's background and her family relationships. He said, Ketterer said, quote, "They interviewed me like I was being deposed. My wife told me, quote, they're trying to decide if you're a credible witness." Ketterer said he lost his bid to represent Maryland's 8th Congressional District as a Democrat back in 1996. Now a registered Republican, he says he identifies more strongly as an independent. Avenatti used Twitter to release a written declaration from a second woman. Well, you knew about that, yeah. In an interview, Avenatti expressed frustration again with the FBI for not meeting with Ms. Swetnick. He said if that meeting had taken place, Swetnick would have told the FBI the names of other people who attended the parties in suburban Maryland, where she says she saw Kavanaugh drink excessively and fondle and grope girls. Ketterer, the guy who came up with this, was fired from his position with Channel 7 in Washington in the mid-1990s. He sued the station for $12 million in 1995 over what he said was discrimination against him because a psychiatrist had diagnosed him with bipolar disorder. And yet, Grassley and Orrin Hatch couldn't wait to get their pervy little fucking voyeuristic minds on that letter. Oh, what did she do? How many were she in bed with? Was it all sucking and fucking, or were they doing something else? Were there any animals? Any birds and shit? Oh, tell me. I'm Chuck Grassley. I used to fuck farm animals. Tell me about this stuff. Ketterer said the lawsuit against Channel 7 was dismissed in summary of judgment, and that he learned weeks later that he had been misdiagnosed. "I have diabetes, not a mental illness," he said. He said, quote, I was having mood swings. When my blood sugar gets low, you don't want to get anywhere near me. I am not mentally ill. End quote. It's just fucking unbelievable. All of this. Can you see Orrin Hatch and Chuck Grassley demanding to see every little detail? Have you got any pictures? Have you got any videos? Remember Cheney, who wanted to see the torture videos? I'll bet you Cheney has already worked through his contacts in government to say, can you get me a copy of the Khashoggi tape? I really want that. I know you took one. If you don't have the video, I'll take the audio. Fucker will need another heart, won't he? Okay. Let's take a break here. I'm starting to, everything's starting to get fuzzy, Kathy. Boo, 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 boo. I want to go live in Bob Alexander's basement. It's legal to live in his basement? Oh, to smoke weed, yeah. I'll be right back.
Raise my voice in anger. Yeah, but look at my face, ain't this a smile? I'm happy when life's good, and when it's bad I cry. I got values, but I don't know how or why. I know you're for me, you're looking for you. We're looking at each other and we don't know what to do.
Following the pressure is this for Wednesday, October 17, 2018. Hashtag, if you thought Halloween was scary, we direct you to CBSNews.com and correspondent Leslie Stahl's interview with President Trump. The president said that climate change is self-correcting. The New York Times published on Monday a column fact-checking the president. On CNN State of the Union this past Sunday, Senator Marco Rubio, Republican Florida, says he's working on reversing the effects of climate change, but he says he's not going to destroy the economy while doing so. Meanwhile, in Mississippi's Hattiesburg American newspaper, Chris Rural of that city's chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby says high-tech solutions proposed to mitigate climate change will spur job creation and there's bipartisan support for this idea. Also, The Hill in Washington, D.C. reported that damage from Hurricane Michael is projected to cost billions of dollars, and a number of insurance companies are adjusting their rates and their policies based on the worsening climate change outlook. From Inside Climate News, the Senate confirmed BP oil spill lawyer and a climate policy foe as the government's top environment agency attorney by a vote of 52-45. Jeffrey Bossert Clark also represented the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in lawsuits, challenging the federal government's authority to regulate carbon emissions. Acting EPA Chief Andrew Wheeler fired a panel of scientific experts charged with the agency's latest review of air quality standards for particulate matter. Be sure to check out Progressive Voices and iTunes for Green Under Pressure's longer reports and interviews. And please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Green_Pressure. I'm Rita Rich.
Whether you're listening to me, Mark Levine, every Monday and Thursday,
or me, Leslie Marshall, each Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday,
you can hear us from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
Here's a sample of what you'll hear.
It's not appropriate when you want the right to persecute. When you want the right to oppress. I'm not being allowed to be a racist. I'm a victim. I'm not being allowed to deny things to gay couples. I'm a victim. I'm not being allowed to rape women. I'm a victim. No, no, none of you are victims. You don't have a right to oppress. Oh my God, gay people are getting married. I oppose that. I'm the victim. No, it's not your life. If you're being victimized, you are being denied something, not your right. I'm not being allowed to missionize in public schools. Well, it's not about your right to use to control others' lives. You have no right to control others' lives. You don't have a right to tell other people who they can marry, other people what religion they can practice, other people whether they have the right to be free from abuse. That's no right at all. You have no right to use the power of the government to mistreat others. That's what the Taliban does. It's called a theocracy. You're not a victim if you can't control someone else's lives against their will. No. They have as much right to be free from you as you have to be free from them. All right, Leanne, go ahead. I'll give you the final word.
Okay, I agree with you 100% on everything. I just think that these people are going to get more and more tricky, more and more sophisticated, and I just think our side's going to have to be just as bad as they are if we're going to win. I know, go out and vote, everybody, but we're dealing with some really bad people.
Well, we have to reclaim the majority. One of the ways, and I did say I would get to this, so I will, is how to reform the Supreme Court. What I would do, and there's some Democrats are talking about adding seats on the Supreme Court, which is perfectly legal, but if we do that, the Republicans can then add seats later, and soon we've got 27 people on the Supreme Court. My own view is the best way to do it is to have 18-year terms for Supreme Court justices. There's 9 Supreme Court justices, so it would mean that every 2 years, and I would do it on the odd year of a presidential year, every 2 years the president gets to appoint justices. It's not fair, for example, that Jimmy Carter appointed none in his 4 years and Donald Trump appointed 2 in just 2 years. This way would give a regularization to it, and it would mean that we, the Democratic branches, get to control the government. Of course, we also got to get rid of the Electoral College and gerrymandering. I got a very full plate, but none of this will get done if you don't get out and vote. If you're not registered, register now. The state deadlines are around the corner. Don't forget to vote. Again, that's Mark Levine every Monday and Thursday.
And Leslie Marshall each Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Voices Network.
So I guess by now you've seen the pictures of this filthy subhuman, Blake Fisher. Blake Fisher, the Idaho game commissioner. He resigned after the pictures that he distributed caused an uproar. It's a picture of Blake Fisher and his goofy-looking wife. I say goofy-looking not as an ad hominem attack against her, but because in every one of the pictures where they are posed over the corpse of an African animal, she's smiling. But then so is he. But the picture that they all destroyed me. When you can go to Africa and kill animals with these high-powered fucking rifles and then have pictures taken And with a grin on your face, you filthy son of a bitch, you. It's hard for me to deal with. But the one that really, really fucking blew my shit away, and I will never recover from this, is this macabre picture that he took. It's a family picture. A family picture. And there's him holding the corpses of an adult male baboon. Here's an adult female baboon, a corpse. And there are two more baboons, the two babies. And he shot all four of them. The smallest baboon's head is rolled back, its head, its mouth slightly open. Crimson blood stains are on its abdomen. He brags about the fact that he killed them all, an entire fucking family. I can't talk to too long about this. I can't do it. He's a Christian, white male, conservative. We're going to take a top of the hour break. I'll be back. So this scummy bastard who was the Idaho Game Commissioner, Blake Fisher, he has resigned because a bunch of people called for his resignation after his lovely pictures of his murdering big game in Africa, Namibia, I believe, were released at his request. Prove he's a man. That's how white Christian male Republicans prove that they're a man. One of the ways. They either assault lots of women sexually, like Trump, or they go kill animals who are unarmed. But here's the story. This all began when Fisher and his wife returned from a hunting trip to Namibia last month. Fisher compiled photos of the animals the pair had hunted, which included a leopard, a giraffe, an impala, a water buck. And he sent the images along with descriptions of each kill to more than 100 people, according to KBOI in Idaho. At the very top of Fisher's email was the picture of the baboon family, according to the Statesman newspaper in Idaho. In a September 17th email, Fisher wrote, "Fellas, I have been back for a week and have been hunting and trying to catch up." See, he comes back to the U.S., first thing he has to do is go kill more animals. "Anyways, my wife and I went to Namibia for a week. First, she wanted to watch me and get a feel, as she put it, for Africa. So I shot a whole family of baboons. I think she got the idea quick." End quote. The former commissioner, Keith Stonebreaker, told the Idaho Statesman, quote, "They killed a whole family, including small baboons, and I think that's revolting. It just puts a bad light on us." Well, you selfish motherfucker, you. It puts a bad light on you. He wiped out a family. Oh, I know. They're just baboons. Who gives a shit, right? In a lengthy email, another former commissioner, Fred Treve, who served as the Idaho Game Commissioner for 8 years, Fred Treve advised Fisher, quote, to take responsibility and resign, end quote. He also wrote to the dirty fucker who committed the murders, he wrote, quote, "My reaction to the photo and accompanying text of you smiling and holding a family of primates you killed dismays and disappoints me. I have a difficult time understanding how a person privileged to be an Idaho Fish and Game Commissioner can view such an action as sportsmanlike and an example to others," end quote. See, it's legal to hunt baboons in various countries in Africa. And the former commissioner, Fred Treve, wrote, quote, "Legal doesn't make it right," end quote. And according to the Idaho State Journal newspaper, Treve's email included a reference to a hunting manual endorsed by the state's Fish and Game Commission, which states that hunters, quote, "should refrain from taking photographs of the kill and from vividly describing the kill within earshot of non-hunters," end quote. Yes, because we are delicate. We non-hunters. We may develop the vapors and collapse at your feet. Or we may reach back as far as we can and come around with a fucking fist and hit you right in your goddamn jaw. You feel like a man there, Commish? Ex-Commish? Mr. Fisher? You piece of shit. Make you feel like a man? I see the smile on your face with your Buona beard and your Buona hunting outfit and your big-ass gun and your bows and arrows and your goofy wife there smiling with all those capped teeth she has in her mouth. Huh? You look like a couple of fucking savages, both of you. Well, that's what you are. Treby also wrote, quote, your poor judgment has unnecessarily put the Fish and Game Commission's credibility and hunting in general at risk in the blink of an eye. I wonder if this fucker and his old lady are going to sit down and eat the baboons or eat the giraffe or eat the water buffalo or eat the, a leopard. Are you going to eat them, you fucking idiot? Are you going to eat the baboon baby? Oh, God. Keith Carlson, another former game commissioner, also called for Fisher to resign, said, quote, I don't know how you can say anything good about a photo of a guy smiling with a stack of dead baboons with a baby in front. If you're an anti-hunter, that's raw meat. And I'm a hunter. I've been a hunter forever, end quote. Oh, but it upset you, Keith Carlson, did it? Oh. I'm sure Keith Carlson eats what he murders when he's out in the bush, don't you think? Fisher told the Idaho newspaper he received a call from a fellow commissioner expressing concerns about the photo. It looks like three fellow commissioners. And he apologized for sending the pictures. He defended his wiping out a baboon family, but he defended killing them. He apologized for sending the pictures. This is what he said, quote, I didn't do anything illegal. I didn't do anything immoral. Well, then you rotten fucking Christian, you didn't do anything immoral. Killing a family of baboons who had no way to protect or defend themselves, and you call that not doing anything. Well, that's a typical Christian attitude. You fucker. Fisher said when he got to Namibia, he received a list of animals that could be hunted, some of which required a trophy fee. Fisher told the Statesman, though, that baboons are free. No fee to kill a baby baboon, you filthy fucker, you Christian white male bastard. On social media, reactions to the photo have been fierce, many criticizing Fisher's actions as disgusting and disturbing. Comedian Ricky Gervais, is it Gervais?
Gervais,
a longtime animal rights advocate, posted a scathing two-word tweet in which he called Fisher a pathetic expletive, using a vulgar word to describe female genitalia. Pussy? Cunt. Oh, he's British. You pathetic cunt. No, probably cunt. Twat? No, that's that word's. Oh, the Brits like twat.
Yeah.
Look at this shit. I mean, listen to what we're talking about. These are white Christian male conservative politicians I'm talking about, and religious nutfucks. Like the Salman asshole in Saudi Arabia, Oh, go kill him. Oh, take your time. Biologist Dan Schneider tweeted, quote, Blake Fisher liked to kill lots of African wildlife. Some animals on the verge of being declared endangered, and he knows this. He shouldn't be a U.S. Game Commissioner. Robin1473 tweeted, the first thing I saw when I woke up this morning was a picture of your Fish and Game Commissioner Blake Fisher gleefully posing with an entire family of baboons he killed with a bow and arrow. I am disturbed beyond words. What kind of people work for you? Horrific. Oh, my God. You bet what? Yeah. Fisher told the Statesman newspaper in Idaho that he was, quote, raised in a very ethical hunting family. In each photo that he took with these corpses, he said he tried to pose the animals in a natural position, and we wiped the blood off their mouths and the rifles and bows that were placed over the bullet holes so you couldn't see them in the picture. You miserable fucker! Can you believe this? We posed the animals in a natural position, after we wiped the blood off their mouths. One hunter named Stephen Elder said, quote, he killed the whole baboon family, and you've got little Junior laying there in mom's lap. You just don't do that. I hate wolves as much as anyone, but I'm not going to take a wolf family, kill it, and put it on display and show the dead baby wolf. You know, these two-hour podcasts that I do with some of the stories, I can sit here and cry and weep on camera, which would be kind of a bore. Or I can sit here and scream and curse and try to come up with the most gutter language I can come up with to express my utter contempt and hatred for these slimy sons of bitches. So I choose the latter. The Republicans are getting ready with their story if they lose the House or the Senate in the midterms. Charles Pierce, writing at Esquire. Listen up. Over the weekend, there were a couple of ominous, if overlooked, statements from Republican officials touching on the upcoming midterm elections. In a radio interview, National Security Advisor John Bolton sang the new administration tune of how what we really should be watching as regarding outside interference in our election is what China is doing. Here's a quote from the Washington Free Beacon. Quote, on Chinese election meddling, Bolton said the problem is serious. He said, quote, we are very worried about the question of Chinese interference, not just in individual elections, but more broadly trying to influence the American political discussion with an influence campaign that I think could well be unprecedented, end quote. Echoing declassified intelligence made public during a speech by Mike Pence, Bolton said the Beijing influence operations must be stopped. He said, quote, I think the United States needs to stand up, frankly, to any foreign government that thinks it's going to interfere in our politics. Excuse me. We are a self-governing people. We will govern ourselves. We don't need international institutions to tell us how to do it. And we particularly don't need foreigners trying to exert undue influence over us. End quote, John Bolton. This is the dirty little slimy fucker that has no problem invading other countries like, let me think of one. Oh yeah, Iraq. To tell them how to run their government. Bolton, who is a fucking war criminal from the day he appeared on the scene. Calm down, Mike. Back to Charles Pierce. And then down in Georgia, Brian Kemp, the Republican Secretary of State and current Republican candidate for governor, has been spreading the word that Stacey Abrams, the Democratic opponent, has been arranging for undocumented immigrants to vote in November. He's been sending out mailers to that effect. Here's something from Mother Jones. Quote, the backside of the mailer features an image of Abrams and says, she's too extreme for Georgia. His proof? Kemp says Abrams intends to turn Georgia into a, quote, sanctuary state that would allow immigrants to vote. He's a Christian white male. If you think I stereotype these fuckers, you're absolutely right, because they fit the stereotype perfectly. Here's another one. A church-going, Christian, white, male Republican. He goes on. Or Charles Pierce, or I'm sorry, Mother Jones goes on. Saying this is a sly political maneuver on Kemp's part, but it's false. The claim apparently dates back to Stacey Abrams' time as a member of the Georgia House of Representatives when she voted against a law that would have required potential voters to provide proof of citizenship while registering to vote. Georgia passed its law in 2009, followed by Alabama and Kansas. As my colleague Ari Berman has pointed out, but in 2016, the federal appeals court blocked all three states from implementing proof of citizenship laws for people who use the federal voter registration form, because under the National Voter Registration Act, it would be unfair to require proof of citizenship for some registrants and not others. I carry a voter registration card and my photo ID as required here in Georgia. My photo ID is my fucking driver's license. But nobody ever challenges me. And you know why? Because I am white. I am male. I don't talk with an accent. And someone looking at me in one of these precincts where I go to vote would probably say, well, there's a nice Christian-looking man, if they only knew. Back to Charles Pierce. These two statements are not merely crude electioneering. They're part of a national mechanism that's being created to delegitimize a Democratic sweep should it happen next month. It'll be Chinese meddling, or it'll be sneaky illegals, and they will sell it hard to those people most likely to believe it, and the country likely will catch on fire. In addition, as close as some of these races appear to be, we likely are heading into a couple of months of recount hell. If 2000 was any indication, there could be 10 or 20 Brooks Brothers riots in our future. All democratic norms are down. It's a free-for-all. Yeah, I call it Gucci riot. Brooks Brothers riot is what Brett Kavanaugh participated in the year 2000, when he and a bunch of punk fucking well-dressed political operatives from D.C., most of them were Senate staffers, and they went to West Palm Beach, they went to West Palm Beach, Florida, to disrupt the voting, and that was the Brooks Brothers riot. And what Pierce is saying here, there are probably going to be a bunch of recounts demanded, because some of these races are so close. And you will see these fucking bastards showing up to interrupt the vote count. And this time, along with the Brooks Brothers rioters, there will be people with semi-automatic rifles. You better get ready for it because it's coming. Some of us think. Pierce closes his piece by saying, I'm not sure if the Democratic Party is ready for what could be coming. And I'm very sure neither the elite political press nor the country is ready for it. I'd like to believe everything is going to be most chill at the polling places, but I'm not betting on that either way. I'd like to believe that the results, whatever they are, at least will be treated as legitimate decisions made by a democratic polity. But you'd have to be crazy to bet on that. Trump and these gangsters have been whipping the people up, especially his fucked up base, for almost 2 years now. Well, more than 2 years, but even back during the campaign. And this fucking Trump pig was the one who insisted that Obama wasn't even an American. They have been working this theme for months now, trying to push this country to a civil war. And I get worried about legitimate potential crises like global warming, like a nuclear accident. Those things are very, well, the first one is probable. The second one is possible. But there's a third one, and I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it because it's an issue that could rip this country to pieces. I live in a neighborhood where there are a lot of Stacey Abrams supporters, and there are some Brian Kemp supporters. The Stacey Abrams supporters, she's the woman running as the Democratic candidate for governor. Those people are friendly, outgoing. They walk their dogs late in the afternoon. You see them on the street. We know our neighbors. We don't live in a neighborhood where we don't know anybody. I know my neighbors. I know the Indian folks, the Asian Indian folks live here. I know the Japanese folks who live here. Kathy knows them better than I do. We know the African American folks who live here. And if we're out and about in the neighborhood, if I'm walking, it's a friendly neighborhood. People say hi. When we're driving, when we're leaving the neighborhood, if you go by a car, you wave. And mostly they wave back. You know who doesn't wave? You know who doesn't walk their dogs? If they do walk their dogs, they do it with a sullen look on their face. The people who live in the houses that have the Brian Kemp sign out front. They are sour, ugly, hate-eaten bastards. And of course, they're all white. They're all Caucasians. Now, the people who live in my neighborhood who are not of European heritage, I've noticed, they don't put out political signs. They don't dare. This is Georgia. This is the South. I don't give a fuck if it's 2018 or 1957. If you look like you weren't born here or go to a nice, good Christian church here, you are immediately suspect. So people who live in my neighborhood who are of Asian, of any sort of Asian descent, even if they've been American citizens and their parents were American citizens, it doesn't matter. Those people do not, will not, because they cannot openly participate anymore in the democratic process, the electoral process, I should say. And I live kind of on the edge of Atlanta. the capital of the New South, where this kind of poisonous shit was not supposed to happen. Yeah. Let me give you an example of modern day Georgia. Listen to this. This is from the AJ's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Government officials in an East Georgia county told about 40 African-American senior citizens to get off a bus taking them to vote Monday, leading to complaints of voter suppression. You heard about this one? The bus, run by the group Black Voters Matter, was preparing to depart from a senior center operated by the county, Jefferson County, when the center's director said they needed to disembark. According to Latosha Brown, a co-founder of Black Voters Matter, a county clerk had called the senior center, raising concerns about allowing the bus to take residents from the senior center in the city of Louisville, south of Augusta. Ms. Brown said, quote, "We knew it was an intimidation tactic. It was really unnecessary. These are grown people." The senior citizens agreed to get off the bus and cast their ballots later. Monday was the first day of in-person early voting in Georgia in the election for governor between Democrat Stacey Abrams and Republican Brian Kemp. Jefferson County's administrator said yesterday that the county government considered the event at the senior center to be political activity, which isn't allowed during county-sponsored events. Going to vote? Let me ask you something, truth seeker. I'm going to take a break here in a minute, but I'll come back to this particular item. If the bus would have been pulling out from, oh, I don't know, the Jesus H. Christ Baptist Church someplace, right? Great big old fucking bus that said, white votes matter. And all these nice white people, retirees, were getting on the fucking bus. And they were heading to the polling place to go vote. Do you think that the county would have called up the church and said, wait a second, you're not allowed to do that. That's political activity coming from a church. Do you think that would have happened? Do you think it would have happened, Kathy?
They would have taken them out for ice cream.
They would have taken those old people, given them a fucking police escort, as long as they're white, coming out of a church, police escort to vote, and afterwards would have taken and bought them all ice cream cones. Good little old people. Okay. But the Negroes, well, now wait a minute. Wait. Y'all live in this county nursing home, right? Yes, sir, we do. And what are y'all doing? We're going as a group to go vote. And some of us use walkers and crutches and canes, and some of us are poor, and we don't have a way to get there. So these good folks from Black Voters Matter, they rented us a bus. And we're just getting on the bus to go vote. No, you're not! Now, you Negroes got to know, and I don't mean no offense by calling you Negroes, that's just what you are. You Negroes need to know that this kind of political act, this is where we live. Every single fucking item that I bring up on this podcast is reflective of where we live and the times we live in. I'll finish the story when I come back from this break. Kathy, get me the fuck out of here for a couple of minutes. Jesus.
The page is white. Together we learn to read and write. A child is black. A child is white. The whole world looks upon the side.
Now a child can
Okay. We're back. So, black voters matter. What an outrageous thing to say here in Georgia, right? That's the story. Senior citizens from a county-run senior citizen center. Now, it wasn't, let me just check here. It wasn't like a senior citizen's home. Hold on. Yeah, it was a center where old folks go to socialize. My mother went to one of those in Toledo after she retired and had, what did she have, bypass surgery, Kathy? And she started going to a senior center, and she went for about 12 years. She would go to play cards and have lunch and socialize with her friends and work on her enemies, you know, because old people do develop a lot of enemies, right, in their social circle. But it was a fun thing for my mother to do and for most people to go to a senior center. She lived at home, but she would go to the senior center. Apparently, that's what happened in Jefferson County, Georgia. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the black folk there decided, hey, let's all go vote. And there's a bus coming to take us, sponsored by an organization called Black Voters Matter. Well, then all hell, so to speak, broke loose. Now, Think Progress on the web reported this story first on Monday. But this bus, the Black Voters Matter bus, has been traveling through Georgia to encourage black voters to go to the polls. Now, of course, we all know that every single black voter in the history of the human race will vote Democratic, right? And while that is unmitigated bullshit, we also know that here in Georgia, the Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, who is running to be governor of Georgia, he's a white Christian conservative. He is removing people left and right from the voter rolls because he can. Because once again, everybody knows that black folk always vote Democratic. So when they told the black folk to get off the bus, it was because the center, which is run by the county, was not supposed to get involved in political matters. Now, that's bullshit, of course. There's not a senior center or any kind of a government-run organization in Georgia, I don't care what it is, that isn't, to greater or lesser degrees, political. But in this particular case, nobody was telling these folks how to vote or who to vote for. They were providing a ride to the polling place for early voting. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, if this would have been white people coming out of a church, good Christians all, being given a ride to vote, white people, nobody would have said a word. But these weren't white people. So the county administrator, one Adam Brett, said in a statement, quote, Jefferson County administration felt uncomfortable with allowing senior center patrons to leave the facility in a bus with an unknown third party. An unknown third party. Well, let's see. How do you solve that? You send somebody out the fucking door to the driver and say, who are you? Oh, you're Joe Smith? Do you have a driver's license? Cool, may I see it? Oh, okay, Joe, thanks. Unless you want to believe that these senior citizens were about to be kidnapped by Boko Haram terrorists who are going to hold them for ransom. Mr. Brett says, quote, no seniors at the Jefferson County Senior Center were denied the right to vote. In that particular instance, you half-witted moron, yes, they were denied the right to vote. You made them get off the goddamn bus that was going to take them to vote. Now, to add insult to injury, Black Voters Matter, this ad hoc organization, I think it's ad hoc, maybe it's well organized, but this organization had received permission in advance for this event at the Senior Center. The event was intended to encourage seniors to vote, and when some of the seniors asked whether they could get a ride, if they could ride a bus to the early voting center location, Black Voters Matter agreed to take them. But someone, I'll bet you it was a white person, someone saw the bus that were painted with the words, "The South is Rising Tour," and called government officials. If the bus had said, "The South will rise again," nobody would have said shit. Because here in the South, everybody knows what that horse shit means. The South will rise again. No, it fucking won't. It really won't. The Nazis will rise again. The Klan will rise again. So the bus was painted with "The South is Rising Tour." And somebody ratted him out. Some conscientious white person, I'll bet you anything. Maybe I'll come and look at this bus. That must be a bus full of Negroes. What does that mean? The South is rising tour. Oh, Lord, call the sheriff. They called county government offices, according to Ms. Brown. That led to the phone call from the county clerk to the senior center. And when they were asked to get off the bus, the senior citizens agreed, okay, what are they going to do? Say no and get arrested? Diane Evans, who helped organize this event, who was on the bus, said, quote, it was discouraging that they weren't able to vote. When they're suppressing votes, they're going to come up with any kind of excuse about what your problem is. Ms. Evans said the event wasn't political, nor did the organizers advocate for any candidate. Ms. Evans said she helped coordinate the event in her capacity as a private citizen, a pastor, and community leader, not as someone who works for the county's Democratic Party. Oh, you do what? Well, there you go. You're taking those old Negroes so they can vote Democratic, right? During the event, the senior citizens got excited about voting and they danced near the bus as James Brown record blasted through the speakers. Remember that one? I'm black. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. You remember that? So these old folks were dancing to the James Brown record. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I would have liked to have seen that, huh? According to Miss Evans, Diane Evans. Anyway, after the seniors got off the bus, as the white folks told them to do, they were initially told they could ride in a county van provided by the senior center to go vote. But when the seniors had to get off the van because the senior center's leaders decided it was too close to lunchtime, and the seniors could vote another day. The Jefferson County Commission chairperson, Mitchell McGraw, didn't respond to an email seeking comment. And the senior citizens who were on that bus couldn't immediately be located for comment Tuesday because it's a senior center. It's not a nursing home. Now, according to Mr. Brett, now who was he? He was the I don't know. Somebody's speaking for the county. According to Mr. Brett, the senior center staff routinely arranges public transportation for senior citizens to go vote. But you see, this year here in Georgia, for the first time in history of any of the 50 states, we have an African-American woman who is running for governor on the Democratic ticket. And we have a gun-toting, Trump-sucking Christian named Brian Kemp, who in his first political ad sat there with a shotgun pointed at a teenage boy who, according to the storyline in the ad, wanted to date one of Brian Kemp's three daughters. And he had the fucking gun pointed at the kid in the ad.
It had a little sign that said Parkland.
But this is a year when every effort here in Georgia is being made to make sure that Brian, by God, white Christian male Kemp is the next governor of Georgia. Even this Christian fuck, Mike Pence, is getting in on the act talking about, well, the Chinese are going to infiltrate and invade our election. The Chinese. Isn't it interesting? It's not the Russians, when any fucking moron in America knows it was the Russians. But you see, the Chinese aren't white. The Russians are. So it couldn't be the Russians. Despite the obstacles, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the senior citizens will find a way to cast their ballots, according to Ms. Brown. She said, the seniors were so resolved, they said, we're going to vote, nobody's going to stop us. It wasn't the first time someone has denied them or tried to prevent them from voting. And I'll tell you what. Some of these so-called senior citizens, and boy, Christ, do I hate that term, always have, even when I weren't one. I think it's a very condescending term, a senior citizen. Jesus. But we're talking about people who clearly remember what it was like here in Georgia and Mississippi and South Carolina and Florida and Tennessee and Virginia and Kentucky and Alabama and Texas and Louisiana, where they couldn't vote. The people in that senior center playing fucking ping pong or canasta or whatever they play, waiting for the bus to take them to vote, they know goddamn good and well what it's like to be told, nigger, you ain't going to vote. Not unless you can recite for me the entire U.S. Constitution in Latin. What, you can't do it? Oh, pity. Yeah, I use the N-word occasionally on this program because that's the kind of language that's been used against black people here in the South since for fucking ever. So a lot of these folks who had to get off the bus can remember riding in the back of the bus and not a bus to take them to vote. a bus to take them to clean some white folks' toilets and bedrooms and basements. And voting? Shit. So maybe later this week, which would be Thursday or Friday, or maybe next week, these elderly black folk will get a chance to get on the goddamn bus and go vote. What do you think? In the meantime, Brian Kemp, the white conservative Christian Trump sucker, will continue to do everything he goddamn can to minimize the voter rolls in Georgia, which means eliminating people with, you know, Negro names. Kathy, let's take a quick break, if you don't mind. And what we got up next? Oh, yeah, so something very interesting that the Saudis did. I don't mean chopping up the man and gouging his eyes out and cutting his fingers off and then saying, what? What are you talking about? We know nothing. I know nothing. I know nothing about nothing. We'll be right back.
Top of the hour on the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn presents the Green News Report.
5 days after the storm slammed into the Florida Panhandle, patience is running thin.
Large swaths of the Florida Panhandle still awaiting aid after catastrophic Hurricane Michael. Michael was the fourth record-breaking hurricane to make U.S. landfall in the past 15 months. Plus,
I'm not denying climate change.
Despite Michael's record-breaking destruction, Republicans are still denying the science and the economic impacts of climate change.
All of that destruction and denial straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
A UN report warning about catastrophic damage from climate change drops just as such a hurricane hits. Only a moron could not see the connection. Or as Trump said, I don't see the connection.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, if I'm not mistaken, your teaser there at the top about Michael as the fourth hurricane to hit the U.S. over the past 15 months, that doesn't include Hurricane Lane out in Hawaii, though, does it?
No, but Hurricane Lane only skirted Hawaii. It didn't actually make landfall.
So it left a record amount of rainfall in Hawaii, but it doesn't count because it wasn't a hurricane when it hit the island.
Basically, yes.
I see.
Well, on Monday, President Donald Trump toured some of the destruction left behind by Hurricane Michael across several southern states. The Category 4 storm obliterated entire neighborhoods. As of airtime, at least 18 people are confirmed dead across four states, but that number is likely to rise as rescue crews search for at least 30 people still listed as unaccounted for. Nearly 1 week after the storm, emergency services have still not reached some storm victims. with food and water being airdropped into rural areas that were cut off. More than 200,000 people are still without power amid stifling heat and humidity, with some officials warning that electricity in some areas might not be restored for a month or more.
What is this, Puerto Rico?
Officials in Mexico Beach warned that recovery could take a year.
Yes, it's Puerto Rico.
For the record, Hurricane Michael was the most powerful hurricane ever to hit the Florida Panhandle. It was the strongest storm to make landfall in the continental U.S. since Hurricane Andrew in 1992. Hurricane Michael now ranks among the top four most powerful hurricanes on record to make landfall in the United States. Michael was the strongest hurricane to hit Georgia since record keeping began in the 1850s. Michael was so strong that the rumbling of its winds and waves showed up on undersea seismometers that measure earthquakes.
Wow.
Michael was the fourth Category 4 hurricane to hit the United States in just the last 15 months, following last year's Harvey, Irma, and Maria.
And then, of course, there was this year's Lane and Florence, but apparently they don't rate.
Not as major hurricanes at landfall.
So major is considered to be Category 3 or above?
Correct.
Got it.
Scientists say that Hurricane Michael's sudden intensification from Category 1 to almost Category 5 in less than 24 hours fits a recent pattern. All of the worst hurricanes of the past 2 years, Harvey, Irma, Maria, Florence, and Michael, intensified extremely rapidly. Initial estimates of economic losses put damages from Hurricane Michael at about $30 billion. In Georgia, where farmers were just about to harvest their crops, agricultural damage is forecast to top more than $1.5 billion alone. In 2018, so far, the United States has had 12 extreme weather disasters costing more than $1 billion in damages. All of Hurricane Michael's extreme records are in line with climate scientists' predictions of what we'd expect to see with global warming. But Republicans like President Donald Trump and Florida's own Republican Senator Marco Rubio took to the airwaves to downplay the fact that climate change is man-made and is having major economic impacts right now. In a CNN interview on Sunday, Senator Rubio acknowledged that rising sea levels are impacting infrastructure and climate change might be a factor, but he promoted the false claim that transitioning away from fossil fuels to clean energy would somehow be more expensive than the mounting economic losses from multiple billion-dollar extreme weather disasters that we are seeing every single year.
And that means mitigation, hardening. We've been working on that very hard and continue to strategies to mitigate against those factors that are going to be in place no matter what happens with our energy policy. But I'm also not going to destroy our economy.
For the record, numerous economic studies and the real life experience of booming economies like California have proven that the cost of transitioning to clean energy is far, far cheaper than the damage caused by fossil fuel emissions with global warming, including the lives saved from cutting air and water pollution from fossil fuels. Climate change is already having an enormous economic impact right now.
Yeah, but that's nothing compared to the economic impact on Marco Rubio's campaign if the Koch brothers pull out their money, if he stops denying climate change.
Good point.
For much more on all of these stories, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Follow where the money goes. Follow where the money goes.
Please help Progressive Voices support the Green News Report by stopping by bradblog.com/donate.
Well, here's something to intrigue you. It should intrigue you. The day that Mike Pompeo, Trump's Secretary of State, arrived in Riyadh, which I believe was Tuesday, to talk to the Crown Prince, Salman, about the dismemberment and torture and murder and disposal of Salman Khashoggi, an American-based Washington Post journalist, on that very same day, and this is just an amazing coincidence, On that very same day, the United States received a payment of $100 million from Saudi Arabia. Now you might be asking, gee, gosh, what was $100 million for? Well, back in the summer, the Saudis had promised $100 million would be paid to assist in reconstruction efforts in part of Syria. However, since they made the promise, the Saudis have more or less handled that promise the way Trump handles his promises. Fuck it. Nobody will remember. Questions persisted, according to the Washington Post, over the months as to whether or not Saudi officials would come through with the money. The timing of the transfer. Pompeo arrives to investigate the disappearance, and $100 million shows up in the U.S. Treasury from the Saudis. Same day. Within 3 hours. The transfer, according to the Washington Post, raised questions about a potential payoff. No. As Riyadh seeks to manage the blowback over allegations that Saudi agents tortured, butchered, removed the fingers of, and eventually killed Salman Khashoggi. Jamal Khashoggi, I'm sorry. The State Department denies any connection between the two. Oh, heaven fucking forbid. Why do you lefties always come up with this shit, right? Pompeo arrives, we get a transfer of $100 million. Oh, you say there's a connection, right? You fucking left-wingers do that all the time. There's no connection. None. Brett McGurk, the State Department's envoy to the coalition within the State Department that's called the Anti-Islamic State Coalition. Old Brett said in a statement, quote, "We always expected the contribution to be finalized in the fall time frame. The specific transfer of funds has been long in process and has nothing to do with other events or the secretary's visit. Nothing, nothing. Gambling here? At Rick's?" Saudi Arabia has made a reputation, since they're so fucking rich, in their continuing successful efforts at destroying life on this planet with the cooperation of industrialized countries. But Saudi Arabia is well known as being the country, because they have so much fucking money. If they want something done, murder, well, you're going to have to help us hide the murder. I tell you what, we'll give you $100 million to keep your fucking mouth shut. How's that? Western diplomats suspect that the kingdom will also compensate Turkey for its willingness to launch a joint investigation into Khashoggi's disappearance. You can see it now, can't you? Is he here? How about under there? Is he over here? Oh, we're out of time. All right. I'll bring you more of this tomorrow. I'm sure this story is not over. But that's something for you to think about tonight. $100 million, strictly a coincidence. I'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be right back. Hey, Truth Seekers. I have an important update for you about my upcoming memoir, A Hunter Thompson-esque Journey of Experience, Observation, and Political Awakening of Yours Truly. It's about 90% finished and soon headed to the publisher. It's posted in book form on the Kickstarter page for supporters who pre-ordered the book. And you can read it online right now. Just go to the Kickstarter page. Photos, hate mail, and other memorabilia will be added to the print version. And I think you'll love that. Did you miss the pre-order offer? Well, if you did, don't worry. You now have a second chance to order the book online. And since all the original rewards are claimed, I'll sign your copy as a special second chance pre-order thank you. So visit MikeMalloy.com for all the details. Oh, and coming soon, watch for updates on the fall book signing Glamping Weekend with the Malloys in the North Georgia Mountains. Keep checking MikeMalloy.com for more information.